the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this point, I'm going to open up public comment for any items not on today's agenda. If you wish to speak, please fill out a speaker slip. There's some against the back wall there and turn it into the podium. At this point, I don't have any speaker slips. I see anybody coming forward. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment and move on to planning staff updates.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Steve McMaster's planning staff, and I will be delivering your planning staff updates for this meeting. We don't really have any updates other than I'm just going to go quickly through the docket to kind of let you know about the upcoming meetings. October 9th, the Planning Commission meeting has been canceled. October 23rd, which is the next regularly scheduled meeting, that is a full agenda at this point. The items include the Chevron Tank Farm. That's the city, or that's the project that the city acted as lead agency and just recently certified the EIR. And this part is the actual remediation portion, which the county is taking the lead on and that your commission will be considering. The Portnoy Conditional Use Permit, which I believe is a cell site, the O'Brien variance, which is grading on slopes of greater than 30% up off of Homestead Road, and the Pismo Coast Village CUP, which I believe also is another cell site. The next regularly scheduled meeting after that is November 6th. Currently we have three items, I believe, or four items scheduled for that, including change to a haul route for the Guadalupe oil field, increase a winery and special events increase for Adelaida Winery, and another variance, which I'm not sure what the variance is for, and then a general plan annual report. Beyond that, the next, I do not think we have any items scheduled beyond that for those items. So,
what was item one on 11-6?
On 11-6, that there is a change proposed to the haul route for the Guadalupe oil field cleanup, and it's tentatively scheduled for November 6th at this time. And that concludes the update on the dockets.
So our current calendar includes a November 13th and a December 11th meeting. There are possibilities at this point.
Yes, that's correct. November 13th at this point does not have anything scheduled, and so that may be canceled. And December 11th, I do believe, is going to occur. There is a fairly large project that I believe is tentatively schedule for that. If we can get the noticing and everything together, that will be on your agenda.
Which one would that be?
That may be the Las Palitas mine near Santa Margarita.
What about November 23rd? Yes. Nothing?
November 20th, right now that is kind of a special meeting that we held just for some large projects. At this point, we do not have anything scheduled for that, so probably the next in October, we'll probably let the commission know whether we will keep that open or whether that will be
okay.
Canceled.
Thank you.
All right, very good. We'll move on to the consent agenda. We have three items on there. Any member of the public commission wish to pull and speak to any of the items? We've got two sets of minutes and one conformity report. Seeing nobody wanting to pull an item, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I shall move.
A second.
Second. Ramona, call the roll, please.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Meyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Commissioner Irving?
Yes.
Chairman Murphy?
Yes. All right. The consent agenda is approved. We'll move on to hearing item number one. Ramona, if you'd introduce that, please.
Hearing Hearing item number one is a hearing to consider a request by Joseph Carrasco for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2013-00094, Supervisorial District Number 1, Morgan Terrell, Project Manager.
Does any commission member have any ex parte to disclose?
I've spoken to the principal as well as his agent here a couple of occasions.
And also, Highway 46 runs right along the property. The land use category is agriculture, and it's surrounded by the freeway, which also has agriculture surrounding those freeway areas in the city of Paso Robles. The airport is nearby as well. You can see it's kind of in the northwest area. Here's a closer view. The north, right to the north of the property, is some residential suburban property that has single family residences, and the rest is surrounded by agriculture and the freeway. So here's the location of the proposed kitchen area and dining area. It's on the southern side of the property. And on the left here is a photo of the existing patio, which is the proposed outdoor dining area. And then on the right is the existing storage area, which will include the kitchen, and then some of that will remain storage. This is the proposed site plan that was included in your original staff report. There was a request for to change the orientation of the kitchen. We believe it to be a minor modification to the project, so we recommend the revised site plan be incorporated into condition 1A here. We want to reference the revised floor plan. So I think that was emailed to your commission on Friday. And after that, we received some additional requests for modifications to the conditions of approval from the agent. We discussed these in the last couple days, and staff recommends some changes to three of the conditions. The first one is condition 1B, and it discusses the hours of operations. Our ordinance states that the hours of operation are limited to the hours of the wine tasting facility, that it's open to the public. Staff recommends deleting the reference to limiting the hours of the wine tasting facility, but instead limiting the evening hours of the restaurant limited food service facility. The second request is to replace, on condition 9, to replace the word sprinkler with protection system. Staff agrees with that modification, so we recommend that also be changed. The next one is related to the non-residential density in the airport land use plan. The request was to reference the allowable non-residential density section in the airport land use plan. We instead decided to state what the exact density is in the area because it's easier to reference what the condition is instead of going to the plan. And this concludes all of the changes to the conditions of approval. Staff recommends approval of the conditional use permit 2013-00094 based on the findings in Exhibit A and conditions in Exhibit B. And we also recommend incorporating the revised site plan and the revised conditions of approval 1A, 1B9, 1B9, and 18. This concludes my comments.
Very good. Any commissioner have questions of the staff at this point? I've got planning.
Would you please repeat that 1B? I'm sorry. Thank you, Jim. 1B, I didn't quite catch the last of your sentence as far as the time of opening.
Yes. So our ordinance requires that these limited food service facilities be limited to the hours of operations.
That was under the winery.
Of a tasting room.
The tasting room.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. So there was concern from the neighbor across the street, which is just over 200 feet away. It's a residence that traffic in the evening would be an issue and would be loud and cause disturbance. So staff put in the hours of the tasting room to limit it to that, so it did not go into the evening hours. But there was concern from the property owner and the agent that limiting the tasting hours would be an issue because needs change. So what we recommended was not to limit the hours of the tasting room, which are not limited right now by the use permit, but instead limit the new use to 6 p. to no later than 6 p.m., which is the restaurant.
I still don't understand why you did it that way, but that's all right.
I've got everybody's lights on, so I'm suggest that we, if you want to ask questions, let's go ahead and cover these points, or we might want to cover those first and then let the applicant do their presentation to respond to staff's comments and our questions. So if you do have questions on these three items in the staff memo, let's go ahead and hit those first. My board's not working here, so I'm going to start with Jim.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. Back to the staff report 1-6, the under environmental health. I'm curious as to how the regarding water supply, or in the event that the facility has more than 25 persons, blah blah blah, an annual permit will be required for the water supply. What do you mean a permit for the water supply? In other words, you know, if we close at 5 one day and then we could close at 10 the next, is that correct?
That's correct. Our ordinance does not limit the hours of tasting rooms, and the use permit that was approved in 2003 did not limit it at that time either.
Okay, and but your recommended revision is that the restaurant closes at 6 regardless of what's going on in the tasting room.
That's right. So the existing use continue as approved in 2003, but the additional use closed by no later than 6 p.m., so there's no additional traffic.
Okay.
Or noise.
Thank you. The I guess the other question going forward would be future winery applications and all. The ordinance still is open-ended on this question of tasting room hours.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Meyer?
My question is relatively simple, and it's not that important, but it's just a question. The conversion of the barrel storage to the kitchen space, did that change any of the existing parking requirements, or is the capacity of those two uses relatively the parking capacity? I don't get my question.
Well, the limited food service facility changed the parking requirements. I believe it increased it from the existing one, but they do slightly exceed the parking requirements, but the limited food service facilities have their own parking requirements.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as they accommodate it, we're good. Thanks.
Mr. Topping?
Well, my question's not on the items you
have. That's fine. Go ahead. Okay.
This is the first staff report I can remember that hasn't had a mitigated negative declaration attached to it, and I see that this is a Class 3 categorical exemption according to the staff report. My question is, and that's, as I understand from staff, it was filed as a minor interior modification, but I see you're adding a restaurant. So my question to whomever is, what does CEQA say about adding restaurants in agricultural zones as to whether it's a project or not a project?
The exemption that we used is under new construction or conversion of small structures. It references conversion of small structures from one use to another, and basically minor modifications. So that's the exemption that we used.
So it does.
The use that is proposed is still secondary to the primary use.
It's not a new primary use.
No, it's incidental to the primary use.
Thanks.
Which is ag processing.
Okay.
Is that it?
I had a couple others. One was just to where the airport is. That went by pretty quick. Wonder if you could just show that. And this is okay with the Airport Land Use Commission?
Yes, it went to the Airport Land Use Commission, and they determined it to be consistent with the Airport Land Use Plan.
Okay. And the water, is this within the temporary emergency water boundaries?
Yes, it's in the Paso Robles groundwater basin, and it requires a 2-to-1 offset. The proposal is slightly more than that, but they are meeting the requirements.
Can I actually jump in on that point and ask a question, which I probably should have noticed and raised earlier, but the urgency ordinance has a specific provision for discretionary permits that requires the offsetting, in addition to metering and monitoring requirements consistent with the ordinance, which I think if you go up one section, falls under the offset clearance. So I didn't know if perhaps that's already occurring, or is there I didn't see a specific condition that would require that, and I just want to make sure we're being consistent with the ordinance.
My understanding is the additional requirements are caught at the building permit phase when I spoke to some of the water staff about that.
Okay, so our belief is that at building permit issuance, the metering and monitoring condition will attach and be applied. Is that right?
I'm not sure about that. I know that okay. When they come in for the TI improvements, that they are required to show offset, but I'm not sure about the.
I'm very familiar with this property. I mean, lived not far from it for 50 years. This is an ag well that serves more than just what they're doing here with the restaurant. So I don't know how that might figure into the situation, i.e., you're not going to be able to monitor, other than the health people coming and looking at the quality of the water, you're not going to be able to differentiate what's going to a vineyard and what's going to the house that's out there and what's going to this restaurant. So I'm not sure how much good it's going to do to put a meter in a well and keep a log. There's no specific water source for this building, in other words.
So there's no water source. There's not a separate.
Not to my knowledge.
Place to put a meter, basically. Okay. My concern is trying to assure consistency with the urgency ordinance, though, and it does say metering and monitoring consistent with the ordinance. And so I think that at least the monitoring at this point in time with this ordinance doesn't require reporting to anybody. It's just the installation of the meter and the maintenance of logs concerning the amount of water being used.
Well, that was also there with a question on that. Is the wording of the emergency ordinance, I thought it was for new construction and not a modification of an existing building or use, and we're talking, that's how this is coming to be, is a modification, thus the exemption from the CEQA. But it's your feeling that the emergency ordinance does require it for any change to a property then?
It's the need for a new use permit.
Is the trigger
the
here?
The new discretionary permit is the trigger.
Public Works have a comment here.
Yeah, I was just going to add that if it was the commission's desire, the meter, instead of being put on the well, could be put in such a place where you just measure the building.
The flow into the building.
Yeah, right. I mean, it would be an easy thing to do.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have some questions? I have some more to jump in on.
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and let the applicant make a presentation because she can hit on some of these questions.
Right.
They're her input, and then we'll come back to that question. All righty, if the applicant would like, Jamie Kirk would like to come forward.
Good morning, Chairman Murphy, members of the Commission. My name is Jamie Kirk, and I'm here representing the Carrasco Winery. And we are applying for a conditional use permit to allow a limited food service facility at an existing winery. This is probably the first one your commission has seen, and I don't know if you've seen one. I know we've processed one quite some time ago, but this is a use that we're encouraging wineries to pursue. You can do food and wine pairing at wineries, but in order to have made-to-order food, like to be able to come in and order off a menu, it does require this permit, and it is limited in size to 800 square feet, including the kitchen and seating area. So whenever we're talking about restaurant, it's not really a restaurant. It's just having an opportunity to come in and have made-to-order food. And there was a winery approved on the site in 2003, It was the winery that was approved in 2003 is larger than what was built. So the permit was finalized, I believe, in 2006. They've been operating about, what have we got, about 4,500 square feet of use area. The project is located on the Highway 46 corridor, as staff said, right next to the city of Paso Robles. It is a 38-acre site zoned agriculture with an existing residence and the existing winery and tasting room. If you didn't have an opportunity to view the site, here are some pictures from Highway 46 East as well as Dry Creek Road. And again, we're proposing a limited food service facility, and it will be 800 square feet, 330 square feet of outdoor patio area, as well as a 470 square foot commercial kitchen. And highlighted on the floor plan are the areas we're proposing to use. And as Commissioner Meyer asked, yes, we did do the parking calculations, and we ensured that we have adequate parking on the site for the use. Here are some pictures of the outside elevations. Again, no proposed changes, just using existing use areas. And to hit on Commissioner Topping's questions, there was a categorical exemption issued for the project, and that was based on no new impacts associated with this limited use. And again, the Airport Review Commission did review it and found it consistent with their plan. We will be required to do a water offset. We're subject to the planning area standards, which require a larger offset than the urgency ordinance. The urgency ordinance requires a one-to-one offset for more of your ministerial projects, your building permits. But whenever the resource capacity study was adopted, I know it's probably been 4 years ago, there was a provision that discretionary development require a two-to-one offset. So we have provided a plan for the two. So what we're asking, and again, because it's been a while since staff has processed one of these applications, the last one we saw was for, that we processed, and I think it's the last one that came through the county, was for Four Vines there at Farm Stand 46. And so we're just asking for consistency with the conditions of approval that were issued for that project. And as you can see on this slide, down at the bottom, this was the condition for Four Vines, which is consistent with the ordinance that just limits the restaurant hours, restricted to the hours that the wine tasting facility is open to the public. Consistent with the ordinance, and that's, we would request a modification that our condition 1B matches the previous conditions for similar projects. And with that, I'll conclude my presentation, and I'm here for questions.
Did you have any comments on the requirement for metering the oil?
Well, and I guess I would, I wish I had the urgency ordinance in front of me. I know we work a lot with the urgency ordinance for ministerial permits and the requirement to meter, and I would defer to council because I do trust Whitney on her interpretation of it, but I know we're subject to the area plan standards requiring a 2-to-1 offset, and I'm not sure that the metering comes over to the discretionary application as well. Because if we're going to be subject to the urgency ordinance, I'd prefer a 1-to-1 offset as opposed to, let's be consistent.
All right. Thank you.
Councilwoman, would you like me to jump in there?
Sure.
I think if it helps, and perhaps staff can actually pull up the ordinance, it might be helpful as well. So I think I've actually got it.
I think part of the question is, do we need, does the urgency ordinance require that we place a condition of approval in our conditions, or do we just reflect that it's subject to, which it obviously is, to the urgency ordinance?
So the language says, in approving a site plan, minor use permit, conditional use permit, variance, or other discretionary application, the review authority shall impose reasonable conditions as needed to satisfy the requirements of this ordinance, including proposed offset requirements for the proposed use that would be equivalent to offsetting the net new water demand at a ratio of at least 1-to-1, and metering and monitoring consistent with this ordinance.
So,
and the metering and monitoring provisions are above that section, and it requires within 30 days of installation of a new well or prior to final building inspection, whichever is applicable, evidence shall be submitted to the Public Works Director that the property owner has installed a meter on the well serving the use to measure all groundwater from that well. The configuration of the installation shall conform to a drawing prepared by the property owner and conform to technical standards set forth by a Public Works Director. And then the next provision states on or near the first day of each month, the property owner or other person designated by the property owner shall read the water meter and record the data, and the records shall be maintained by the property owner. So the reason why this ordinance is triggered, though, comes earlier in the limitation on use section, section 4, which states that none of the following uses shall be established, basically, except in conformance with this ordinance, and the one that applies here is new development dependent upon a well in the groundwater basin. New development is then defined above means all allowable land uses pursuant to Table 2-2 of Section 2206030 of Title 22 of the County Code. So it basically captures any use that's allowed, and the reason why it applies here is because of the discretionary nature. So we're falling under this Section 7A3, which requires reasonable conditions, including metering and monitoring. That's so where the trick
is. I think you make a good point here, Whitney, but the question I have is the way, if you could slide back a little bit there, the question on metering, specifically, what, as you read it, said it had to be attached to the well. Is there flexibility enough here so that you don't attach it to the well, that you just attach it as Public Works suggested, to basically putting a flow meter in on the pipeline going into the building? The ordinance said, you said, as I heard you read it, said there would be a meter at the well. There it is. Property owner has installed a meter on the well serving the use to measure all groundwater use. So I'm questioning that, number one, and I guess I think you've made it clear that the planning area standard here supersedes the or is superior to the groundwater ordinance, or is the emergency ordinance superior to the planning area standard, in which case the offsets should drop to 1-to-1.
So then that would become in conflict with the numbers that we're given here to approve this as to the acre feet per year use. Like,
but it's not
two.
Correct. It's not, though, this requirement is not intended to impose any limitations on the amount of water that's being used from the well. It's
now.
Just
no,
simply
now.
For
monitoring.
That's understood, but the point I'm making is the reading in that language, it doesn't appear to me to have the flexibility to allow Public Works to approve something under that's not on the well. And
Frank, I jump in? I was trying to listen for the same thing that you caught, and then I did notice what you said there, and I lost my place in the ordinance. But I also thought I heard that the requirement is to monitor the new use. So if it came to me in Public Works, how do I comply with that? It would seem like the meter for the new use is what's sought after here, not how much water is coming out of the well. So if I had to put it all together, how I would interpret it.
But if you back this up to B, it says within 30 days of installation of a well, or prior to final building inspection. It doesn't say, it sounds like the way I'm reading this is if you're drilling a well, if you're putting in a well, you've got to put a meter on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything about an existing well. It doesn't address the fact that this is a well that's already there. And I appreciate what Public Works just said, but I don't see the flexibility there to allow where it's directing the monitoring of a new use, unless there's somewhere else in your language here.
I do think it is intended to apply to existing wells, and that was why there was the provision for prior to final building inspection as opposed to installation of the well pursuant to 8.4.
Okay.
The ordinance captures it captures drilling of new wells in addition to land uses that are essentially incidental to.
Well, as we address conditions of approval on this, is it permissive for us to specify in the conditions of approval how the monitoring, where the monitoring is to take place, and would that be in conflict with the ordinance or a problem operating under the ordinance?
I think it would be within your purview to set in a condition of approval to put some more information in there about the metering and the monitoring.
Okay.
It does appear that there's some room for conflict there, though, between the need for a meter that measures all use from the well. But then again, I think it was intended to give the Public Works Department some level of review and, you know, a technical understanding of the best place and the best type of meter to be used for that purpose.
Thank you. Then I would suggest that we, in the conditions of approval, that there either be added or some language that speaks specifically to the point I'm making. If the commission agrees with me, I think that it should be directed toward the new use and not to the existing well.
I have a problem with all of this. The reason why, that's been an existing winery for several years. They're probably going to use less water in that building now because they'll make less wine and make sandwiches instead. So I think we're trying to interject this. So this whole situation is because it's a minor, as we say, modification to an existing building. That existing building has been pumping water into it all the time he's making wine there. So why are we all of a sudden interjecting this? I don't think it has any place in it.
Can we
it's
go back
not
to
a new
the
building. It's not a new
ordinance.
Winery. It's been using water all along.
And go to the paragraph above, the leading paragraph, into the number one.
What's that?
Well, I just wanted to see what this whole section's about here.
Yeah. I think we're sticking with some technicality here that we don't need to be doing. Because it's got existing water use already, grandfathered in from when they got the building permit to build the building. And it's been used.
The way I read this, if you look at number at section 7, number A right there, it's offset clearance. The second sentence defines a new development dependent on a well. And I this is a building that exists. The development is basically conversion. It's not necessarily a new development.
Exactly.
It's a conversion. Yeah. And your point about whether it's bottle storage or barrel storage or kitchen.
Yeah, they're taking away some of the winery property to put the restaurant in, and sandwiches don't take a lot of water. So
I should know this, but what's a ministerial permit? As a CUP is not a ministerial permit, is it?
Correct. It's a discretionary permit.
So this applies, it says in the last sentence, ministerial permits, and then you have a separate paragraph addressing discretionary permits, meaning CUPs, where it suggests reasonable.
What are we going to accomplish by having a meter connected to the building? I think it's just more expense for the applicant, and
exactly right.
there really isn't a necessity for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go ahead and close public comment and bring it back now to the commission. Commissioner Topping, your lights on.
Sure. Well, to me, a new use is a new use, even if it's secondary. And the question is, what bounds are you going to put on the new use, time-wise and over the long term? So I see some value in monitoring over time the water use consistent with the new ordinance. Particularly since the long-term trend, given the latest changes in state law, is towards metering, and we know that metering is an issue statewide. So, but I'd be willing to consider supporting the metering only of the use for the building, because I think that would be a reasonable application of that rule. I had a question about signage. Is there any change in signage?
There are no existing signs, and there's no proposed signs for this particular use permit. So they have to have a comprehensive sign plan when they do want to have signs, so that will come back to the county for approval.
Okay, so that's a staff approval later on.
Yes.
Commissioner Irving.
Thank you. Jumping to a couple of other the conditions, and condition 25 that's speaking about signage, actually. And the last sentence talks about if lighted, signs are to be indirectly lighted by stationary shielded light sources directed solely at the sign. The word directed is a question I have, is because that could be a light source that's shooting up at a sign. Is there a specific requirement, or is it somewhere else understood that all lighting has to be down-faced?
I'll probably have Holly speak a little bit more to this, but I just wanted to let you know that so this was carried over from the 2003 use permit.
Right. No, I understand that, but what I'm getting at is, as the restaurant's going to have, I would presume, lighting as a lighting plan as part of their permit. And so I wanted to make certain that any new lights or any lights that are being used are down facing, and it just kind of reflecting to the previous condition 28 says lighting shall be turned off 1 hour after the end of each event, with the use of a restaurant to make sure that the lights are in fact turned off when the restaurant hours are closed, so we don't have excessive lighting out there. I don't know if the applicant wants to add on. Do you have any comments on signage and lighting, Jamie?
Jamie Kirk, we're proposing to just follow the ordinance requirements for signage. We don't have an extensive signage plan proposed, and we're more than happy to comply with the ordinance for lighting.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes, I'm going to go back to this time of operation. You've got 12 events that can go to 10 p.m. That can be 12 days in a row or once a month or whatever situation. Again, as I said, I'm very familiar with that pace. I've hauled grapes through there at all hours of the midnight from on. And the fellow who lives across the way, entry is on Jardine Road, a lot of trees behind the house, a horse corrals, et cetera, et cetera. And I do not see the difference between 8 or 10 people in a group sitting in the patio drinking wine and talking and having a good time, as opposed to 8 or 10 people sitting in there talking, drinking wine, and eating a sandwich and having a good time. There's just no difference at all. So I would propose to leave that limitation of 6 p.m. off.
Is the tasting currently limited to inside the building, or can they use the patio currently for tasting?
Yep. Both.
Both. Okay, so they're already capable of using the outdoors. Okay, because I kind of agree, if there's an event going on until 10, having a kitchen available to prepare food really doesn't have any effect on the attendance or the traffic.
Exactly. I was just about to say that we have 12 special events allowed a year. At least at the minimum for the 12 special events, the restaurant should be allowed to be open during the special event periods. I do not agree with Commissioner Campbell, however, I do agree with staff's recommendation closing the restaurant at 6 p.m., other than for special events.
You mean other than, okay, so that is slightly different then?
Yes, slightly different from what?
Are you making pies? Are you going to be making sandwiches? So we can close. It will require us to be creative. We're going to close the kitchen as a limited food serving facility, so you can't order off the menu, but then we could do food and wine pairing. We just don't want to do those gymnastics through the ordinance and try to skirt our way around. We just like to have consistency with the ordinance.
Good point.
It kind of appears the staff's concern is they don't want to turn this into a restaurant that's open every night till 8 o'clock, I think is what the actual concern is, because that could go from being a tasting room to a restaurant and increase the usage if it's on that scale.
Exactly, and I thought that there had been requests of the county in the past to establish restaurants in rural areas, such as this is sort of not rural anymore, but I know that I've seen applicants or people making inquiries about having restaurants out on ag properties that have been denied. So it's kind of a in-between condition for me. I agree with Commissioner Campbell, the difference between and what the applicant just said, which was, if you're having a pickup party and it goes till 7 o'clock and you've already got a restaurant there, you should be able to augment that. On the other hand, how do you limit it from becoming a restaurant that is opened until 10 o'clock at night, because that's when they chose to operate their tasting
room. We have many wineries that have full-time chefs and restaurants that are open until 10 o'clock at night out in the out in far reaches of the town. So,
Commissioner Meyer.
the morphing of restaurants into bars is often a problem. I've never really seen the reverse being a problem, because the noise associated with the alcohol consumption is what usually is the issue. The noise associated with crunching the cracker with cheese on it isn't usually the issue. And so I tend to err to the side of Don. The other thing about wineries and about San Francisco County is we are a county that's primarily a tourism-based county. And this is on a major corridor. It's a busy corridor. It's also a very noisy corridor. So the noise associated with the eating, in my opinion, isn't going to be any louder than the noise of the highway plus the drinking.
Much less.
I can commiserate with a neighbor in an area where it's very remote, and the noise associated with the winery might be disturbing because there's people, you know, celebrating, et cetera. In this exact location, I have a little bit more trouble with that analysis. So I would be in support of the applicant's request.
I do suspect the winery industry does not want to be referred to as a bar.
Well,
just throwing that in.
Yes.
If I may, staff understands that when they're having industry-wide events, that it will be for private members, and that the restaurant would be open for the industry-wide events to serve that purpose. So it's like public versus private.
Why would industry-wide be a private? Industry-wide is open
pick-up
to anybody.
Pick-up parties, club members.
But industry-wide, they have industry-wide events that are open to the public,
I think. But during those industry-wide events, you know, we could see that the restaurant is serving food. A lot of wineries have specials where they're feeding the public and private. Additionally, in the past year, in the 10 years since I've been here, this is the first winery that has come through to request a restaurant. In the past year, we've had 4 more applications come in. They haven't been processed yet, requesting a restaurant in ag zone property. Mm-hmm. Some of the other wineries that are out there, that have a restaurant, I'm not quite sure about those. I'd have to.
So you anticipate seeing more of these applications coming down the road.
When you travel in Italy, when you travel in France, it's quite common to find a little restaurant in the middle of an agricultural zone, and those are some of the most romantic restaurants I've been in. I do have one more comment, and that's with respect to the metering. And Frank seemed to be of the opinion that we could meter the building itself, and my suggestion would be that since the only section that's the new use is the kitchen, perhaps we just meter the kitchen. You know, I mean, where do you draw the line?
Exactly.
It seems like you don't want to stretch
You have the water calculation that was, I think, in a slide in your staff presentation.
0.12.
To show the offset calculation.
Frankly, I mean, I'd just as soon eliminate the metering if it wasn't for council's suggestion that it's a requirement, and I think I could go either way on it, but that's what my question. Could the commission?
My kind of issue on the metering, you're required to have an offset based on a calculation. In this case, one's a permanent offset. You're removing a swimming pool, and the other one is a retrofit, which in theory is another permanent one. So you've met that.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the monitor. Your,
what does
there's
the monitor
no requirement that
add,
you
yeah.
not exceed the calculation of 0.24, or say it's 0.24 is a real
water used from that well. I also wanted to point out that were the use permit not required, the building permit would trigger and the offset clearance requirement, which in turn would also trigger the monitoring requirement. So the fact that we're here at a discretionary permit stage, you know, is the first chance to catch the issue. But the ordinance was intended to apply for even ministerial permits.
So you're saying the building permit's a ministerial permit that
Correct.
Would trigger this section of the ordinance?
Correct. Although were the building, if only a building permit was required, then there would only be a 1-to-1 offset as opposed to the 2-to-1. But as you pointed out, it's a permanent offsetting, and there's no condition imposed that would require monitoring and reporting to the county, and we're going to come turn it off if you're, you know, over your allotment, or there's no punitive level there that would, you know, require additional offsetting or anything like that. It's purely there to to get the meter in place to help address the basin-wide issue that's going on out there, as opposed to the project-specific issue.
I mean, metering, basin, it's looking forward at the management potentially of the
correct
basin and actually monitoring and ultimately possibly restricting pumping of water. There's no other reason to have a meter on the well. I mean, it tells you what's being used, but if you don't use the information, it's worthless. So if you're going to use the information, the only thing you can use it for is to adjust the amount of water being pumped out of that particular water well based on what's going on in the basin. So
from a legal perspective, if somebody were to get to the point of attempting to establish their right within the basin, having that data is very important. So that's why I wasn't sure if there could already be a meter on the well, because if somebody was looking forward to that potential, you know, future, they may want to be able to establish the amount of water they've historically used anyway.
All right, so let's about hitting this by going through the condition of approval, starting with one, going right through the four items of that are issues in exhibit. Unless you want to jump, yes.
Just while you're talking about the well metering, it seems to be a close call. So staff would really appreciate that if this commission has a desire or whatever, just make it clear so I know what to do later on.
Fair enough.
But it is a very close call. And
so item, exhibit B, condition of approval, item 1A, they wanted to add an as shown in revised floor plan. They wanted to add that language. Does anybody have any concern with that, the change in the floor plan?
That's good.
Okay. No problem with that at all.
And that brings us down to 1B, the issue of the hours. I've heard couple varying opinions on this.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to just add a couple thoughts to this. One of the things I think that for this particular one, why we felt setting some hours were appropriate, one is that the food service is supposed to be incidental to the primary use. And what we didn't want to, and we also have the instance of this winery is located closer to residences than what the current setbacks would be required. Along with the contact from the neighbor addressing concerns about the hours of operation the restaurant would occur. So we felt in this case it was appropriate to set parameters, which is certainly within the purview of it being a use permit. It's certainly within the purview of the commission. The one thing we didn't want to have, which the kind of the specter was raised, was that, you know, if successful, the restaurant becomes the driver of the hours of the wine tasting. And that's what we were trying to avoid, is to have the wine tasting be 7 days a week until 10 o'clock at night, because that would accommodate the incidental use. It's supposed to be the other way around. Thus, that's why we propose hours. So just a couple thoughts for your consideration.
The staff recommended revisions to the condition of approval 1B is to put a cap on 6 p.m., right?
Right.
Yes, just for the restaurant, the new use.
The new use.
Your language in that, in your staff recommended revision, though, says in no instance shall the restaurant remain
right
open.
Right.
And I, that seems a little too harsh to my mind, because of the issue of being open during special events. It's not clear that the special events would be excluded from that condition.
We could certainly amend.
Wine tasting hours, which are in the ordinance now, prevail, but put some kind of a limitation on the type. We keep using the word restaurant, and as Ms. Kirk said, it's really not a restaurant. Sandwiches, deli, pastries, this type of thing. So why can't we approach it from that standpoint, that they're not going to, you know, cook vegetables and steaks and lobster and all this kind of stuff? Not that way, of course, but maybe put the parameters around the type of restaurant or type of facility it is and let it stay open with the wine tasting.
You know, you could limit the sale of food products.
Whatever measure we...
You could limit the hours of
I'd like
sale of food products.
I'd like to hear Ms. Kirk's comment to that.
Thank you, Jamie Kirk. I feel that, because this is the first limited food serving facility that your commission has seen. Ms. Phipps said there hasn't been one done in 10 years, but we did have one done in Four Vines a few years ago. Karen Nall was the planner on that. And these aren't, you know, these aren't big restaurants. The seating area is 330 square feet. I mean, it's going to be area for four people to sit down. To Mr. McMaster's comments about why they were limiting the operation because of proximity to residences, the patio area is adjacent to the highway. So we're on the other side. I think we're, you know, I don't want this to set a precedent for things that are coming on. This is a good thing. We want to have our wine tasters out there eating. We want to have an opportunity for them to eat so they don't have to drive all the way into Paso to eat. So if we have a pickup party at 7 o'clock at night, which is normal operation of the tasting room, we're going to tell them we're closing our kitchen at 6, and I'm sorry you have to go into town. I mean, I just don't want us to put this into something that it's not. It's secondary and incidental, 330 square feet. I just don't see the limit of the hours of operation to be accomplishing anything. I think it's going to be limiting this facility. And again, as Commissioner Meyer said, these are things we want to have in our rural areas that you see them whenever you're in Italy, whenever you're in Spain. You have a little place where you could go eat. So I don't want to have a limitation on the types of food we're serving, because if we want to have a barbecue on a Saturday and have steak sandwiches, I just don't want to have that limitation. The notion that this is going to be a full-fledged restaurant like something you see downtown Paso Artisan, it's just not what it's going to be. It's going to be providing food to the wine tasters in our rural areas, which is what we want.
Can I ask what a pickup party is?
A pickup party is I'll say we look at a pickup party as a normal operation of the tasting room, because that was done, I think, on the Calcareous project years ago. It's the benefit of having done these things for 10 years. It's whenever you go to a winery and you pick a wine club member, you pick up your wine.
For wine club members, pick up
wine. Yeah, pickup party. And those are usually done, you know, between 5 and 7 at night, sometimes up to 8. And again, it gets to this is an incidental use. It's very limiting on the square footage, 800 square feet, including the kitchen. So our outdoor area, our patio, 330 square feet, adjacent to the freeway, away from the residents. I just don't see the hours of operation limitation accomplishing.
Yeah. I think you've made a good point about where that patio is, because the noise from the freeway is going to mitigate any noise coming from that patio.
Yeah, I do think the configuration, I for some reason was thinking it was on the other side, but looking at the diagram, it's perpendicular, it's parallel to 41.
Right.
So the residences are shielded from the patio.
The whole building.
Mr. Chair, I do want to clarify I believe the comment from the neighbor was not related to noise from the operation, but was related for traffic coming and going, right, which would be on the other side and entrance towards the side toward the residents.
And that gets back to the question of whether the restaurant starts driving the business as opposed to the tasting room. But again, it is very limited in size, so there's a physical limitation.
That's a very good point. But there is something here that's also not been interjected, which is this is adjacent to a fairly dense population area. It could morph into a restaurant, except for the square footage of it. I think my objection is really not so much to this. I can support the applicant's request for no limitation on the time. It's more the precedent setting of it, because as was discussed, there are more of these coming. And I due respect to Commissioner Meyer's comments, yes, in a lot of areas in the world, you have limited little food areas here and there. I don't want to see a precedent for full-blown restaurants in rural areas, because then we become issues of people drinking too much, driving on the rural roads. I live near one of those things, and I see the effect of it. And so that's probably my biggest reason for objecting initially to your time request.
We just got to keep that very carefully under control.
Thank you.
Commissioner Topping.
I have a question about might this eventually, would at any point, it's on Highway 46, as well pointed out, but the access is off Dry Creek Road. Is there adequate control of traffic in and out of Dry Creek Road and onto 46.
The project was referred to Public Works, and they had no concerns about it.
Yeah, okay. So
the new highway petitions by Caltrans made a very large entry lane and exit lane there.
Acceleration. Really well done. Sure.
My main concern with this proposal is the precedent aspect of the use of a minor interior modification. We make everybody else go through these arduous mitigated negative declarations, and this is the first one, to my recollection, my time on the commission, that we had a categorical exemption. And the question is, so what's going to prevent other places using the same approach, and or what about the next minor interior modification on this use? I see the potential for mission creep here, and the question really is, is it accompanied? It's fine for enterprises to grow if we want to promote that for the economy, but what are the safeguards to as further expansion occurs on this at this use? What are our procedural safeguards under the ordinance to review and monitor those changes should they come in?
Commissioner Topping, going back with Four Vines, I was the project manager on that for the restaurant limited food facility, and that was a conversion also of interior space and adding that restaurant use to that existing winery. That project was exempted because of the situation of that particular place. It was interior remodels. They had good access off 46.
Yeah, pull your mic closer.
They had access of off 46. So we look at each project on an individual basis for what's existing, what's proposed, input from Public Works, impacts associated with that use that they're proposing. With this new use on this property, if they come in and they need to do an expansion, it would trigger another use permit, and then we would look at that at that time.
So another CUP would be the means by which future expansions would be managed.
Well, the restaurant use triggered a CUP, so if they wanted to do an expansion on the restaurant, it would be another CUP. The winery itself is relatively small. If they came in to do the expansion on the barrel storage and stuff, I think that might just trigger a minor use permit.
Commissioner Topping, just a little bit to add on to that in regards to the secret determinations. One of the things I think that the commission gets maybe a slightly skewed view of the use permits that we process, because certain level come to the commission, they tend to be the larger, more complicated projects, which are typically accompanied with either an EIR or a negative declaration. At the level of use permits that go to the planning department hearings or the hearing officer, I would say we process more exempt, you know, projects that qualify for a categorical or a general rule exemption than we do projects that require a negative declaration. Those typically are smaller projects in scale, and obviously don't really garner the attention because they don't show up on a higher hearing body's agenda unless for some reason they're appealed to the Board of Supervisors. So you are correct that most of the time the Planning Commission is considering projects with EIRs or negative declarations, but probably the majority of the use permits we process actually qualify for exemptions.
Thank you.
Another question.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes, Ms. Fifth, a curiosity question. This project was permitted for larger building and caves. Has that been negated, or can one come back and still operate under those original permits?
When Morgan and I looked at this project, the caves were associated with the building structure itself, so we feel that if they wanted to come in and build onto those caves, it has been vested. If they were separate buildings and they weren't, because the project has not been phased, then that portion would not be vested.
And the lack of phasing basically would make it not vested.
So looking at the ordinance compliance chart in the staff report, it says that the under allowed or required
for the testing of potable water or something to that effect to kind of clarify the need for a so-called permit there?
Well, actually, that I thought her response was that that environmental health would conduct additional tests. I didn't understand why there was a permit at all.
Exactly. I'm saying kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be required to get a health permit to operate the kitchen. I think this is just contained within our ordinances.
Just the language is that it permits required for the water supply tells me more things.
Isn't this
just
coming
testing
from environmental health? It's just the way
yes,
the ordinance
it's
is
it's coming
written
directly from environmental health.
It's not it something was, we're creating.
No, it okay was referred to them, and we have a letter from them that stated what the requirements are, and I just incorporated mm-hmm that into the condition.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what's our consensus on hours of operation? I'm leaning towards
to the ordinance.
The ordinance of when the winery's open, they can have food available. I don't see where it's we're not the size of the operation, the scale is quite small. If the patio facing away from the public yep and towards the highway, I mean, I guess the worst case scenario if the neighbors is all of a sudden they decide to stay open at yep 8 o'clock now because they have some limited food service to offer with their wine, and that increases the traffic during the hours of 6 to 8. That's the crux of their concern in the one letter we got.
I'll support that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is an outdoor restaurant.
Yeah. Indoor, too.
Indoor, indoor, outdoor, depending on the weather.
The indoor part is
either or, not at the both. Is that clear in your?
Yeah, so it was in the description, but basically they plan on, my understanding, and the agent can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's primarily going to be outdoors. If it's pouring rain and they want to have people still be able to eat, then they have a little bit of room right next to the kitchen where they could use that instead, but they could not simultaneously use both areas.
What, who's to say they wouldn't simultaneously use both? I'm just that's a hypothetical.
Because they can only use 330 square feet total, so okay it's limited to square all right footage. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, and then I don't think anybody has any issue with the change in the sprinklers to protection. And then the last portion of this, I don't know. Looks like we're just saying the same thing different ways. So
we have the revised conditions 9 and,
right
and 18. We're okay,
I'm
with
okay
that
with both yeah of those.
So then the question is, do we add a condition as Public Works requested to be fairly specific about how to comply with the emergency ordinance?
The water, yeah.
And that's the question of water metering, monitoring, et cetera. And my suggestion is that we be totally specific and measure it into the building, although I certainly acknowledge that it's the kitchen that will be using it, but I think it's easier to just monitor it into the building in one spot and have a meter installed at that point. And that would be my recommendation, and to be as specific as possible.
And perhaps add to the sentence if it's deemed required, because I still think there's a legal question that one could challenge because of the existing water use in the building for the winery.
I disagree with that. I think the ordinance is really clear on that there's going to be a need for some sort of meter. It's just I agree that it shouldn't be at the well. So that's my thought. I don't know how everybody else agrees.
You want to specify the kitchen?
No, I want to specify the building.
Yeah.
I guess for me, irrespective of this particular project, if we had a 150,000 square foot facility that wanted to add a 375 square foot kitchen, and we cited where you're going, I would have a problem with that. And so I hesitate to apply. I understand the restrictions and I understand the rule that's been set up, but I don't want to give any more governmental oversight then absolutely has to be given. I'd like to give the least amount of oversight as allowed by the
good point, but I'm trying to figure out how you would separate the kitchen out of the winery.
I know it's
facility
ridiculous to just meter the kitchen, on the other hand. I understand that.
Yeah.
However, it's just one of those
looking, yeah, and could go either way.
A really
way
tough call.
I just think from the applicant's standpoint, it's probably easiest to slap a meter on the pipeline bringing water into the building and call it good.
I can support that.
Okay.
Except there's going to be a lot more water used during crush of winemaking that's going to skew the whole thing and make it moot.
Of course, I think it's a ridiculous requirement, but I do happen to agree with what council's interpretation of the ordinance. I think it's clear we have to do something. I'm just trying to limit it as much as possible.
So I'm reading through here. We don't actually have any language in here regarding the well and metering.
No,
right?
So we're adding a condition.
But is it just to say comply with the ordinance?
No, I don't want to be, no, because that's too vague, and that would, if you say comply with the ordinance, now you're putting it on the well, because that's the ordinance language.
I do want to clarify, because the way this is written, you want to meter the entire building rather than just the new use.
It says, or the proposed food service use, so maybe once the plumbing situation's been identified, it can be restricted to that 320 square feet.
Well, but then you've got restrooms that are going to be part of the new use for the food facility, so I don't know that you can just do the kitchen either.
Dishwashing. Yeah.
You want, you can leave it to my discretion when they show me their plumbing plans or whatever like that. If that's what you want. Okay.
I think this, Frank, have you looked at this language that they just put up on 16? Does that give you the flexibility that you think that you're asking for? So I would support.
It gives you the option of figuring out
16 as modified.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So.
Ready for a motion?
Yeah, so let me just clarify. We're modifying 1A by adding in as shown on the revised floor plan after the word use. On 1B, well, I guess you've already got the language. You've got all the language
on
the screen.
Do we see it on the screen?
We'll get it on the screen here to find what we're voting on.
Is that it?
Or 1B.
I guess that's what
we're voting on.
That's it. It's no change, actually.
Yet the language would actually revert back to the original language, which was in the staff report.
Correct.
Okay, and then in number 9, we've got the change of word sprinkler to protection, and then in 18, we reworded that just to make it a little clearer.
I did have a question about the protection versus sprinkler. Is there a this is coming from Cal Fire?
They responded to this project, and they do not require sprinklers, and the agent just requested that I don't think they wanted confusion that sprinklers are required, so they just changed the word to protection in case any other requirements are necessary.
Okay, and then we've got the addition of language condition 16. All right, is there no further comment? We're ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve conditional use permit DRC 2013-00094. Based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B as modified, revised conditions 1A, 1B, 9, 18, and 16.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Ramona, call the roll, please.
Commissioner Irving?
Aye.
Commissioner Campbell?
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Chairman Murphy?
Yes. All right. The motion's approved. CUP's approved. At this point, I would take a motion to take all testimony documents into record.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. A motion to adjourn our meeting to our next meeting,
October
23rd.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Meeting adjourned.